Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today I'm going to be speaking to the founder of Care, Sally Hughes. And Care is spelled K-A-I-R, and the website is care.care, K-A-I-R.C-A-R-E. But we'll put all the links over on the show notes so you'll know where to go. Let me tell you a little bit about Care before we bring Sally in. Care have reimagined laundry the way it should be. Care has been formulated to expertly clean the clothes you love so you can wear them as much as you want and for as many years as you want to. They've elevated the experience with their bespoke premium scents that stay. So you'll feel great and smell great too. And here to tell the story of Care in her own words is Sally.
I'm Sally, and I've spent nearly my entire career in the fashion industry, and I guess that's what led me to start Care last year. And you know, through that time in the industry, but actually more than anything, my time as a consumer, I just really learned about the impact that a great outfit can have on your confidence and on your mood. And Care is really here to help you fall in love with your clothes over and over again. Kind of during my career in fashion, I was often wearing garments that were advised as dry clean only, kind of nearly every day. And it was really time consuming. It was expensive to clean them. And they came back smelling of all of the chemicals that were used in the process. So yeah. I started to learn about the fabric care and realized that many of the fabrics of the garments that were being advised as dry clean only could actually be washed. And often at one of the brands that I was working at, kind of members of the team would come in twinning, and we had a really, really great discount. So perhaps the fear of ruining something wasn't quite as high as if you kind of spent half your, half your disposable income on it. And I think we kind of gradually got more and more confident about how we could wash it. And so whilst I was still washing them kind of with gentle specialist detergents that were not easy to find, even some of the team members would just be throwing it in the drum with their regular kind of insert household name here detergent. And at that point, then, you know, you'd see these two dresses side by side and you could understand exactly why a brand might put dry clean only on the label. It wasn't that it wasn't washable, but it wasn't washable with a household detergent that was full of quite a toxic chemical concoction. And so really that was from where Care was born, was the idea, well, it was wrong on so many levels. It's not good for fashion sustainability. It's not good for the customer. It wasn't good for our wallets. And I felt that brands were talking more and more about sustainability. And often what they meant by that was, well, we've made this garment with recycled polyester. And I felt it was a lot more important to actually solve that fashion sustainability problem, not from the supply chain, although clearly that needs solving too, but how do we buy less and wear more? And really that was sort of the genesis. So you might think that that means that we're anti-fast fashion, but actually we're not anti-affordable garments. I'm sat here, in fact, the dress that I'm wearing right now is a 10-year-old Zara dress that I bought on the weekend of the Royal Wedding
Zara
in 2011.
You should have let me know. We could have got the sponsors in.
we could have done, but, you know, hopefully one day. And, you know, I've washed this dry clean only dress in the machine carefully for 10 years. And I think I felt that the world didn't need another recycled polyester bikini brand, but what I wanted to do was help brands help their customers make clothing last. So we are, you know, a luxe laundry brand. We've reimagined laundry from the inside out. We've started with clothing care, put clothing care first and foremost, and then thought, well, how do we improve this experience and how do we really make our clothing lasts, and ultimately how do we help our community long love their wardrobes?
Interesting. And you're right, it can really make or break a garment with regards to the care of it. I mean, like I'm slowly getting into shirts, Sally, in my old age. So like a good shirt, like a handmade shirt, and there's so much stuff that goes on with collars and cuffs of shirts and the way that you can care and maybe iron them, but then you send them to dry cleaners and then they can just come back smashed to bits. Which can be heartbreaking. And then you get other shirts that you can just go, well, look, this also cost me a small fortune, but I can just put it in the wash and it won't have, you know, the effect it might have if you put it into a stranger's hands, for example. But you're right, they don't really go into how, like, you might have a tiny label on how you treat it, but there's also so much concern with how you wash a garment and how you treat it afterwards. I mean, most of the people that get in touch with me after I might do a YouTube video on a certain garment would be, well, I've had this for 6 months. How do I wash it? And what does it look like afterwards? I mean, but you think that it would just be a little bit more straightforward A to B than it would be for, you know, end users and consumers to give that information rather than the brands themselves. I didn't really have a question at the end of that. So I was just kind of
no, don't worry. I mean, like if you want to recut that into a question, I can certainly kind of speak. speak authoritatively. I think, you know, firstly, that laundry fear is absolutely real. And I think, you know, when I was starting the business, one of the first things that I did was just sit down and talk to a lot of people. You know, and they say when you're starting a business, and particularly when you want to find out consumer insight, like, do not tell people what you're doing, because they will tell you it's a, like, once they know that you're about to start a business, they will tell you it's a good idea, even if it's a terrible idea. Like, you could be launching an electric swimming pool and they'll be like, yeah, great idea, go for it. And so you know, at the start of this journey, I just sat down with people and had a lot of conversations around, like, tell me how you do your laundry. And there were a couple of things that came up over and over again. One was that, you know, the number always varied between 2 and 5, but nearly every single person that we spoke to said, you know, I've got 3 things at the bottom of my laundry basket and I know that I can wash them, but I'm scared to, or I don't know how. I need somebody to tell me how to do it. And that laundry fear was so, so real.
Yeah.
And there were stories of literally, like, not wearing their favorite garments because they were scared of sort of ruining them and what would happen afterwards. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, why aren't you wearing these, like, wonderful things in your wardrobe? But to your point on kind of confusion around care, I think it's something that's so important to us. We really see it as, you know, providing the range of appropriate products is only one part of the job. And there are 2 other really, really important parts of that role that we're thinking about just as importantly as the right formulation. So yes, we've formulated our products clothing care first, and that's different for the different garments. So for example, you know, most of the household detergents, they have bleaching agents in and they have optical brighteners, and optical brighteners is basically a trick to make something look white, but actually it's attaching a little blue particle that particle itself can sort of break down the clothing fiber, but it reflects light, so it makes something look whiter than it is, but it's not actually good for fabric care. And similarly, some of the enzymes that are used to break down sort of natural stains like blood actually also break down natural clothing fibers. So we've started by stripping all of that out. But then for other garments like activewear, for example, it's actually, you know, those same high performance fabrics that wick away the moisture content in sweat, they can leave behind in the fabric the bacteria in sweat that causes a stink. So you can have this amazing pair of leggings or kind of a performance, a performance t-shirt, and you've washed it and it's clean, but yet it's sort of 10 washes, 20 washes later, that's think is starting to linger. And actually what you need for that is a specialist deep cleaning detergent that targets that bacteria that causes the stink. And so, you know, we've learned a lot about fabric care and what the different types of fabric care need, but to your point on advice, so much of it is washing it correctly, pardon me, like 90% of the way through this cold. So much of that garment care is about how do you wash it. So how can we advise people, well, for your wool garments, you need to wash those at 20 or 30 degrees and put them on a slow spin cycle, but then you can wash them in the machine. And we really recommend for nearly all garments that you're much better off washing them in a mesh laundry bag, because sort of it's combination of machine, but also anything like a little grommet on a pair of jeans or a zip that can snag when things are being tumbled around in the machine. And if you wash those in a mesh bag, that protects them from being damaged in the wash. So we're providing one of those in every single one of our orders, because we don't think that we're helping our customers look after things correctly if we're not helping them also wash correctly. And then thirdly, we're sort of, you know, really thinking about, well, how do we help people learn the things that maybe, you know, the advice might be 50 years old now because it's their mother's advice passed on from her mother. Actually, it's not necessarily reflective of modern knowledge and modern techniques and frankly, what even a modern washing machine is capable of. And so how do we help educate, because it's not necessarily something that's taught in schools and yet can really, really help contribute to that wider fashion sustainability conversation.
So how do your products How do your products work on the garment, Sally, in terms of how do people apply it and like physically, how do they engage your product with their garment?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the most part, we are no different from laundry detergent and fabric conditioner in terms of how you would use the product. You dose it up, put it into the drum. Where we're different isn't in the how, but in the what's inside. And so a lot of the ingredients that are more problematic for fabric care are the ones that we've removed. And instead we've used modern plant-based surfactants. The cleaning agents in the detergent. And so we've started, rather than starting with how do we blitz this grass stain out of a garment and how do we cater for this common denominator, which is every possible stain under the sun, we said, how do we start with fabric care for people who really, really care about their clothes? And actually, the plant-based cleaning agents that we're using are so effective that the cleaning performance is just as strong, but without the fabric degradation that comes with some of the older ingredients.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
How do you get a brand like this off the ground? So you've got the idea, you've got the background, you've been in fashion, you've had your head in the weeds, so to speak. And do you go and crowdfund a brand like this? Do you raise the capital yourself? How did you go about getting it off the ground?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think it's something that a lot of people sort of don't talk about. Sort of certain shows like Dragon's Den have helped kind of lift the lift the window. But
My girlfriend always chastises me when I don't ask the question, because that's the first question she asks when I get off the call.
But I think it's, it helped that I had a background in finance. So I was the geek in the fashion industry, and I read economics at university. I then came into kind of really quite analytical and data-driven roles. And I was in the finance and strategy teams at Net-a-Porter. And before that, I then jumped across, it was at the time that marketing was becoming digitally driven and data-driven. And so I jumped out of the finance world and into the digital marketing world and ended up leading our performance marketing team there, and then went to work with some of the leading fashion brands from Google, and partnered at Google with the likes of Farfetch and with Matches Fashion. So it given me a really good grounding. But I think then when it still came back to raising capital, it helped that, whenever you watch an episode of Dragon's Den, you see the first thing that will get people unstuck is not being able to explain their numbers. And so it helped that I knew how to pull a plan together, and I sort of knew what we would be trying to achieve. But I think where I was incredibly fortunate is I'd also worked for some of probably the most inspirational founders in the UK in the last 15 years. So my first job was on Innocent Drinks' first ever graduate team, and I was still in touch with Richard Reed, and him and Dame Natalie Massenet at Net-a-Porter were some of the very first people that I spoke to when I was thinking of starting up. And probably both of them, in fact, Richard told me, I'm very biased because it's been the best thing that I ever did. But they both had some really, really incredible advice. Neither of them invested, but Richard had already invested in another laundry brand, so he was conflicted. But right. He basically said, look, I think you're onto something here. I think you could be the Fever-Tree of the detergent world. And whilst we don't position ourselves in that way, it's certainly a confidence. It was somebody saying, yes, I believe in you. I think you could do it. And when I spoke to Natalie, her advice was very similar. She basically said, look, I actually don't think you're being ambitious enough. I think that you're onto something here and this could be really, really big. But why are you only thinking about the UK? Why aren't you thinking about sort of on a larger scale? And I was like, you're absolutely right. But I think it's certainly, one of the things that's been very eye-opening for me, and I think why it's important that we have this conversation, is, you know, last year, and I forget the stat, but I think it's that sort of female founders now raise 2.1 or 2.2% of venture capital, which was down from an all-time high of 2.8% the year before. Like, that is crazy, but it is, I'm absolutely sure, related to the fact that there's sort of, aren't people talking about this, and aren't people saying, well, this is how it's done, and this is how you go about it. And what you do here is that everybody will tell you no. And yes, those first couple of people, it wasn't the right fit. But that's a really important part of the process. It's about finding the people that are the right fit, because, you know, investors come in all shapes and sizes. And, you know, they come from people who back the very, very earliest ideas, when it's literally just an idea, as at this point it was for me, to people who are investing in established businesses. And if you're an early stage idea, speaking to an investor that's only investing, or approaching an investor that's only investing in businesses that have got a revenue line, you're wasting your time. And so I think what was really helpful, I'd never worked at super early stage businesses, but I had helped certain other fashion businesses raise capital at later stages. And I was able to speak to the people that I'd worked with there and say, look, I don't know who I need to speak to, but I'm sure you will know who I should speak to, and can you point me in the right direction? And I sort of tried to leave every conversation with it. It didn't matter if it was a yes or a no, but if every person that I spoke to could keep introducing me to one more person or two more people, then that was sort of that was my kind of,
you'll get to someone
to keep,
in the
to
end
keep having conversations. Yeah. And you know, I was fortunate. I met some you know, brilliant people who understood the industry well, who agreed that it was time for a change in this category. And so while we've not publicly announced our funding, my boss at Glossier had a saying that fundraising is not success, it's fuel for success. And I think there's a very heated funding market at the moment, and there's a lot of people screaming about raising money. And I think for us, we're not, yeah, obviously we're delighted that we've been able to raise the capital to give ourselves a chance to do this. But I think what's more important to us is that we turn that capital into a brand and into a community that helps people fall in love with their clothes over and over again, that keeps more clothes out of landfill, and that makes people feel great. And if people believe in us to do that, well, that's how we get there.
And did you have the product already made at this point, or was it just the idea?
Yeah, so I had, you know, gone away and started working with a laundry specialist. I'd sort of said, look, this is what I've learned. Can you validate what I'm speaking about? And so we've worked with, a specialist detergent chemist, to formulate our product and to launch, you know, our bespoke. We have the IP for our product that we've developed hand in hand with them. And so at the point that we started to raise capital, I'd obviously done the sort of the early part of the formula development. We hadn't finished our scent development. I think that was one of the hardest things to do in a pandemic. So, you know, to this point, we've spoken so much about the clothes, but actually, you know, when I was then, you know, you sort of, you're like, oh, I think I'm onto something here. I think I've got an idea. Let me start doing more research. And what became really clear as well was just how important scent is in the category. It was the number one thing that was most important to people about how they wash their clothes. And yet you walk down the laundry aisle and the scents in the laundry aisle literally were like Crystal Rain and Fuchsia Passion and Gold Topaz. And I was like,
Gwyneth Paltrow's kids.
And I was like, I don't know that, but sort of I enjoy wearing, name your luxury fragrance, and sort of certainly the ingredients that might be found in luxury fragrance. And so we spent a lot of time actually developing the scent to be able to give a payoff as well that really elevated that experience. And so when you open the drum after you've washed with care, you sort of get this gentle explosion of scent, and when you're drying it, it also gives you a lovely payoff in your drying room or in your kitchen or where you might be drying. And that persists. And that bit was much more difficult and took far longer than we expected that it would in the middle of the pandemic. Because I think in a normal situation, you would be able to develop your scents by literally kind of going into the scent lab and trying sort of, you know, tens, if not hundreds of different sort of tweaks to the combination sort of in fairly short sequences of time. Whereas in the pandemic, we sort of had to have everything sent out to us. We were testing it remotely, sort of giving feedback, sending it back. And then, you know, even at the very, very last stages of testing with our community, and we kind of, we narrowed it down to 8 scents that we thought were goers, and we wanted to make sure that the ones that we chose were the most popular and the most appealing. And we couldn't just get people in the room in the middle of the winter lockdowns to do that. We literally had to kind of get samples out to, you know, best part of 100 people individually to individually fill that feedback and sort of chase them for that feedback again because they weren't in the room with us. Yeah. And so I think it made the logistics of that development it certainly made the logistics of developing the product with a community much more difficult, because we knew that to change the game, we had to involve a community from day one. And so that was, you know, not straightforward at a time when you couldn't meet people. But I think it was worth the extra effort that we put in place to get there.
Well, I love the sound of the smells and the scents that you've got going on with these products. The wild juniper, bergamot, cedarwood, amber and iris. It all sounds like you say, it's actually a scent that you'd probably pick up in a fragrance, but quite exotic as well. And I think what appeals to this is, I think when you see a garment and it's freshly cleaned, you're relieved if that particular stain or if that garment's come out the way you intended it to. So visually you've got the aesthetic of, oh, that's nice. But everyone knows what it's like to get into some nice bed linen, right? And they know the smell of freshly cleaned sheets. And that is also a huge part of your sensory perception, is just the smell of it. So you've done both of these. You've got the double whammy of a really nice garment that comes out, but you've also welcomed in this nice aroma, and people can engage and experience the product that way as well.
And I think that's the part that gives me the most pride as well, because sort of our early customers and the first feedback, the thing that people have just been raving about is sort of, there are certain words that keep coming up over and over again, and they're like obsessed and divine. And they're words that have like real levels of passion in them. It's not like, oh yeah, it was nice. Like they really like, oh my God, like I've just used the wool wash and it smells incredible. And they're sort of really, I think, appreciating probably the level of attention to detail that we've put, and thinking, how do we improve this experience? Because we just don't think it sort of as it was, that it was working as well as it could do in so many ways for the garment, but also for the human that's doing the washing.
Yeah. And do you now look ahead? I mean, is it too early to look ahead to future products, maybe like some actual candles or scents that you can do as a kind of side range to this, or are we just still, you know, focusing on what we've got right now?
I mean, for us, it's really, really important that we partner with brands. So we're in the early stages of having conversations with quite a few brands about how do we partner? How do we help them advise their customers on clothing care? You know, for me, like step one or step three or whatever you want to call it, it's like, how do we replace the dry clean only, even if that's not with wash, you know, with wash with care, you know, whether that's care as our brand or just simply the traditional CARE, you know, we want to help brands be part of the clothing care conversation. And we want brands to recognize that care is just as important as fabrication and production in the first place, because you know, the average UK customer or the average UK fashion consumer wears 44% of what's in their wardrobe. And personally, I've always been kind of probably more discerning and sort of, I've had to get myself like to really, really love something before I buy it. And then I'll wear it over and over again. I'll look in my wardrobe and, oh goodness, I've got nothing to wear. But like, we want to help people wear their clothes time and time again, and to understand how they can look after them to keep them sort of just as they were when they left the shop.
Interesting. Sally, what brands out there are doing well in terms of the sustainability and the aftercare? And I mean, like brands like Patagonia, for example, I think are spearheading this kind of movement. Are there any others out there that are doing the right things, making the right noises in this regard?
Yeah, you know, it's such a good question. And actually probably a couple of my favorite brands in that respect. There's a menswear brand called Lestrange, who I'm sure you'll be familiar with. And their concept is all around the capsule wardrobe, and it like with less, do more. It's sort of, I think, a very, very similar ethos to our own, is sort of buy less and wear more. And similarly on the women's side, there's a brand called Me and M, who again have really said, well, how do we make garments that are timeless and that are really, really functional, but also, you know, the vast majority of their garments are actually washable. And so they're thinking, you know, not just about the garment and not just about the fabric and not just about the design, but how does this fit into the person's life? And I think the minute that you start design from the place of, where is this where is this customer going? Where is she going to wear it to? And at my last brand, at Rixo, I sort of always remember the design founder, Orla, would say, where is this customer going to wear this garment? Because the minute that you as a designer are visualizing how that garment's going to be worn, and you're thinking, well, how, you're far more likely to be designing something that stands the test of time. And I think that's a great, great jumping off point.
Interesting. Well, Sally, congratulations. The brand looks fantastic from what I've seen on the website. The bottles look great as well. Did you have a hand in the design of the bottles?
We did. And again, you know, it was something that's really important. You know, we've just talked about sustainability, and probably the one thing that I didn't say was that actually, like, it's not an option anymore about whether or not you're sustainable. It's table stakes. And, you know, the first thing that I saw when we went and looked at the laundry category was that it was a category that was literally full of heavy duty, single use plastic. Even the quote unquote eco brands were housed in single use plastic. And it just seemed like madness to me. And so again, we did a lot of research at the very early days. We looked at paper bottles, and although that technology isn't quite there yet, I think there is an argument, and I think sort of this will improve over time, and I really, really hope the technology gets there. But right now, even a paper bottle is actually still kind of a pulp with a plastic sheath inside it that then makes it much more difficult to recycle, and so isn't necessarily as good as it says on the tin. And so what we've done is we've used a glass bottle that is an infinitely recyclable material, and it's refillable as well. And so that sort of then our refills, they are plastic, but they are 76% less plastic than the alternative, than the equivalent of putting it in that plastic bottle. And I think we've taken the view that, in as much as talking about sustainability, you know, the most sustainable garment that you can buy is the one that's already in your wardrobe. And also, the most sustainable thing you can do is not to consume at all. But if you are going to consume, how do you consume as responsibly as you possibly can do? And we believe that that combination of the glass bottle plus the refills is the most responsible solution that we can get right now.
Interesting. I was just thinking about dry cleaners and how even when you get back something from the dry cleaner, it comes in a plastic wrap. It comes with a hanger that lasts all of 5 minutes, but you have to twist that up, and then that will split the bin bag. And then there's crowd. It's a weird kind of relationship that people have with dry cleaners, where they feel like this is the only safe place you can take something that you're emotionally involved with. And then every time you take it there, the experience is horrible. But yeah, you just go, I'm not going back there again. I'm going to have another horrible experience at another dry cleaner.
And we didn't talk about it because we have both a product now, but also, you know, we're working on things for the future, kind of wink, wink, you know, to help you break up with your dry cleaners. But firstly, you know, in as much as we're a laundry brand, we also want to be responsible. And there are times that actually the right advice is to say, this garment doesn't need washing. It's not dirty. It can be freshened up, and actually you don't need to wash it. And that will, you know, in turn help extend its life. And so alongside our washes and our signature washes and our delicates and our activewear washes, we're also producing, we've called the product a finishing spray, but it's actually really quite multi-purpose because it can give a scent boost after the wash, but it also can freshen up garments between washes and help release creases. And again, that's a product that sort of, you know, you get like 150 uses out that bottle. And if that saves you and sort of, you know, you're on the go, and like particularly this week with all the heat, kind of you can give it a little freshen up and a spritz between washes and just kind of prolong the life and reduce the number of times you're actually putting up something in the machine as well.
I think everyone has this idea of, well, if they've worn it once and they've just got a mild sweat on the go, then instantly that's into the laundry, right? Where it doesn't always have to be the case. I mean, it's probably like the most hygienic thing to do, but there's always other ways of getting more wears out of a garment than just literally just putting it in the wash because it's seen a bit of sun.
And don't get me wrong, like with your active wear and like with your sweaty stuff, like we recommend you wash that every time. Yeah. Certainly, oh, yeah. You know, there are certainly times when you've not been in the hot 30 degree London Tropicana that you a freshen up will do the job.
I'll have it on the record that I always fold my pants inside out after 10K, you know, just to really get that. But then after 20, it does go straight in the wash.
That's so good to hear.
Thank you. I digress. Sally, thanks so much for coming on and walking us through the brand. The brand Care, K-A-I-R, .care. And we'll have all the links and everything else over on the website and the show notes. And make sure you're checking out all the wonderful products and also the website as well, how it's wonderfully laid out. Did you have to do that yourself, or did you employ a new team?
We worked with some incredible partners, but actually if sort of they were such good partners, it really felt like they were an extended part of our own team. And on the side, we've been, you know, the amount of skills that I've learned over the past year, I think anybody thinking of going down the founder journey, you will learn things that you never even knew. And sort of, I'm now, you know, an expert in flutes of cardboards that we can safely ship our glass bottles.
Oh my
but
God.
I won't digress, but there is a whole, like, there's a whole rabbit hole that you can go down if you want to learn about cardboard that, you know, 18 months ago was new to me.
We just ordered 6 flutes. What were they, babe? Those flutes that we ordered, those champagne glasses. Yeah. 5 of them turned up, 1 of them broke. And then the next 2 weeks is spent back and forth with their company and saying, well, what do we do with this broken bottle? Do you replace it? And their automated bot system is just coming back and going, what do you want us to do? Like, well, yeah. Why are we even, are you even asking that? Just send us on.
So the flute in this sense is like, if you have corrugated cardboard, there are literally like different widths of corrugate and different combinations of corrugate. And the wave in the corrugate is called the flute. Learn something new.
My God, you need to get hold of this.
I need to get
put you in touch. We'll put you in touch with the guys that we're dealing with. They're a nightmare. Anyway, Sally, thanks so much for your time. I'll let you get back and enjoy the rest of the sun for the evening. But in the meantime, care.care is the place to go. And make sure you're dropping by and making your wardrobe a bit more sustainable. Okay, until next time. Thanks, Sally.
Thanks so much, Pete. My pleasure.
Thank you, Sally. Well, I could have spoken to her for ages. In fact, I did. After we hung up the phone, we carried it on and on into the night we spoke. Anyway, Sally was a great guest. Thank you, Sally, for joining us. Thank you for listening. Once again, make sure you're checking out the website care, K-A-I-R, .care, C-A-R-E, and have a look at those wonderful products. And also check out the show notes over at menswearstyle.co.uk. Follow us on the social at menswearstyle. Keep updated when we post new podcasts, articles, what have you. And if you want to be a guest on the show, tell us about your brand, tell us about your journey, why not email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay, thanks for listening. Until next time.